Ghana's economic paradox, growth on paper, pain on streets.
Close to approximately 13.2% of the population were food insecure. So all these things overall, we've seen the economy in the right direction, but we are not seeing this translating to greater poverty reduction.
President Mahama's government makes economic gains, but some experts say lives remain unchanged. Tonight on Top Story, we assess President Mahama's stabilization success in his first year in office and ask how that can lift Ghana's poor. This is Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel Connecting Energies, also by Holy Insecticide Spray and Quail, and by Short Pension Trust. Into the future with you. Tonight, the President John Dramani Mahama's first year in office has shown promising economic signs, with notable improvement in inflation, exchange rates, and GDP growth. Inflation dropped from 23.8% in December 2024 to 5.4% by December 2025. That quite a jump there, or a drop there. While the Ghana cedi strengthened against major currencies, gaining over 40% against the US dollar. The economy has expanded by 5.5% in the first three quarters of 2025, marking the fastest pace since 2019. However, Professor Godfred Bokping, a finance and economics expert, points out that these gains haven't translated into meaningful poverty reduction. Unemployment remains high, especially among women and youth, with over 14% of the population unemployed and 13.2% food insecure. And all of this is coming at a period that government, the Ghana's reserves has risen, we are told, to some $13 billion. But Professor Bokping says sustaining these gains and ensuring inclusive growth is crucial.
Yes, and when you look at the economy, there are different aspects of the economy. I think overall, within the 12 months of assuming power, the president has done quite well. Many of the indicators confirm that the economy is heading in the right direction. We cannot take that away from him. We've seen economic discipline, we've seen fiscal discipline, we've seen prudent and largely judicious use of our fiscal resources, the expenditure cut, the commitment control, commitment authorization the Minister of Finance has institutionalized. Then we've also seen strong policy coordination between the fiscal and then the monetary, and then of course supported strongly by external factors in terms of uptake in commodity prices. So from that perspective, I think that the president has checked the box largely. There you want to look at the quality of the performance, the quality of the economic turnaround. You want to see whether the turnaround is inclusive and whether the growth we have seen is also job rich, whether the employment growth relationship has strengthened. I do not think so. If you look at the discussions in the run up to 2024 general election, unemployment was a big issue, because even in 2024 growth was quite strong, higher than the projected under the IMF program. But the problem was that we were recording or celebrating jobless growth. Poverty was very high. More than 25% of Ghanaians as at 2024 were successfully unemployed, or were poor, let me put it that way, right. Were in the extreme poverty bracket. Close to 13.5% of the youth, largely in the employment bracket were successfully unemployed, regardless of the program that they pursued in the tertiary institutions. Unemployment overall was more than 14%, and it was very high among females and all of that. And then the other bit also is that close to approximately 13.2% of the population were food insecure. So all these things overall, we've seen the economy in the right direction, but we are not seeing this translating to greater poverty reduction.
So that's the viewpoint of Professor Bokping on this. But the president himself has been speaking today as he marked his first year in office with a Thanksgiving service at a Jubilee House. And he committed to do even more to deliver fully on his mandate. Listen.
Yes.
The work we have begun is far from finished. But today reminds us that progress is not measured only by numbers and by charts and diagrams. It is also measured by hope that is restored, by trust that is rebuilt, and correct direction that is regained. Thanksgiving must also be accompanied by recommitment. And so today, we recommit to ethical leadership, recommit ourselves to service above self, we recommit ourselves to governance anchored in integrity, competence, and compassion. We recommit ourselves to listening, especially to the voices of our vulnerable, our youth, and those who feel excluded. And we recommit ourselves to the unity of our nation, knowing that Ghana's strength has always come from our ability to rise above division and work together for the common good. My fellow countrymen and women, the year ahead will demand even more from us. It will test our resolve, our patience, and our discipline. But it will also offer us opportunities. Opportunities to deepen the reforms we have started. Opportunities to accelerate our growth and ensure that development and progress touches every part of our country. And so let us move forward with humility. Let us lead with empathy, and let us govern with courage. And let us never forget that leadership is stewardship. It is temporary and fleeting. Authority is a fleeting trust held on behalf of the people.
President John Dramani Mahama there, but meanwhile at Abosokai, the stabilization of the city, reduced taxes, and a generally calmer economic environment. These are the reasons spare parts dealers are giving, for the Mahama-led administration a positive rating for after its first year in office. The traders, however, say more can be done and have outlined key areas they expect government to prioritize going forward. My colleague Adubi Asare was at Abosokai to engage with traders.
Fantastic. To me, you know, semi-rating 1 year, actually.
I think the Mahama-led administration is working really hard. As a businessman, I can say for a fact that things are smoother now as compared to how things were in the era of previous administration. I'd give him an 85% rating. President John Mahama is really working hard. He should completely ignore naysayers and keep the economy afloat like he's doing. Change is good. I'm happy about the city's stability.
Express Highway.
We really need him to work on our roads and transport system for us. I want to see the 24-hour economy policy in full force so that I can hire more workers. My favorite minister right now is Atuforsen. He's doing very well. I also like Atuforsen. I like Sam George for the reduction in DSTV subscription prices.
So that's the report card of this government from the Abosokai enclave there. But tonight, a research by John News Research Desk has showed that John Mahama has delivered 80% of some of the key promises he made for his first year, especially for his first 120 days. In his first 120 days, only 53% of those promises had been delivered You know, but Caleb Zibling of Arisa Desk joins me in studio with some details of what we know. Caleb, now beyond the numbers, there's also the political promise tracking. What does the data say about Mohammed's 120-day contract after a year?
Okay, yes, Brace. So after the 120 days had elapsed, Journey's research did some analysis on the promises and then the outcome. That was after the first 120 days of this government's administration. And after the analysis, we saw that he had completed 52%, so just a bit, just a little bit above 50% of what he promised to do within the first 120 days. And then seven of them were in progress at that time, and then five of them had not started. But then currently, after a year, we decided to go back to the 120-day social contract and check if, even though within the first 120 days he couldn't complete everything, whether that had been completed within 1 year. So after doing the analysis again, we've seen that he has now done 80% of the promises in the 120-day social contract.
Do we know which ones were completed?
So there are about 25 promises in the contracts. We know that he has done about 20 of them.
Okay.
And just off the top of my head, we have the COVID levy, the e-levy scrapping, and then some other taxes that were going to be scrapped. Also,
and VAT rationalization.
The VAT rationalization, the investigation onto the 2020 election petitions, election violence, sorry, and then some other of them. So we have 20 of them that has been done. And then in progress, we have two of them, which are in the 2026 budget. And then also we have three of them which have not started.
Okay.
So for the three of them, we have the promise to review taxes on imported vehicles for agriculture. That has not been implemented yet. Again, review customs acts to allow salvage vehicle imports. Again, that has not been completed as of now. And then finally, convince investigations to purge security agencies of militia and vigilante elements. Maybe that's going on behind the scenes, but publicly, the government has not given us any indication that they've started or they've completed this. Okay. So we have these three of them that the government so far has not done within the 120-day social contract.
But you've been looking at key economic indicators as well.
Yeah.
I mean, from the data you've reviewed, what stands out the most?
Okay, Bruce. So I think the major one that stands out is the exchange rate.
Okay.
If you look at the history of the CD since the CD has been a CD, we started tracking in 1994. The CD has never ended the year stronger than it began. Never ended the year stronger than it began. So the CD started the year trading at $1, say, to one CD. By the end of the year, it would have weakened. So $1 will now get two CDs. That's just a hypothetical example. So since 1994, the CD has never ended the year stronger than it started.
Okay.
But then in 2025, that trend has changed. And for the first time, the CD appreciated against the dollar. And not just the dollar, but other major trading currencies, the pound, the euro, even the Canadian dollar. All the major trading currencies, the CD performed better from the start of the year. And with the dollar, that was about 40%. And we know how the economy is. The economy is mainly import-driven. And because it's an import-driven economy, once your currency is performing very well, it means that majority of the economy feels it, starting from transport prices. If you look at the trend, and we did this yesterday, if you look at the trend for fuel prices, since 2025, there's been a nosedive from a high of about almost 16 cedis for a liter of petrol and diesel. We're now less than 10 cedis, less than 11 cedis, 10.99 for petrol, and less than above 11 cedis for diesel.
Even that depends on the station.
Some stations are still within the 10 for both diesel and petrol. And this is the lowest we've seen since 2022 for the price of fuel. So when you're talking about the exchange rate factor, it's significant.
Okay.
And if you also move on, the exchange rate factor has also translated into the reduced inflation rates.
Okay.
2024 ended with inflation around 23.5%. Currently, we are at 5.4%. And this is the lowest since 2002. This tells you how significant it is. And this is also one of the few times that the inflation rate is below the Bank of Ghana's target band.
Okay.
So Ghana has a target band of about 6% to 10% inflation rates. We are currently at 5.4% inflation rates. So in the eyes of the Bank of Ghana, they will actually have to do some mechanisms to increase the inflation rate a bit to stay within their 6% to 10% inflation rates. So the major takeaway is the exchange rate factor and how that has come out within the entire economy.
But as other people explain, the biggest challenge now lies in converting these gains into tangible benefit for the ordinary Ghanaian.
Exactly.
We'll delve more into this here on Top Story. This is Top Story, brought to you by Telcel, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil, and also by Shield Pension Trust. I've been joined on the line by Professor Esumeng. He is an economist at the University of Ghana. Prof, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, what's your own reading of President Mahama's first year in office in terms of the economy?
Good evening. Good evening to listeners. Thanks for having me. Overall, you have to say that the president's management of the economy in the first year has been very good. You start with the fact that the president has been very clear about what the strategy he wants to pursue, and he has pursued it. You look at where we ended 2024, where the macroeconomic indicators generally were not looking good. Especially on the fiscal side, as well as even the inflation targets and others. The first thing that you notice is that when the president's first budget was presented, the first thing is to make sure he delivered on a lot of the immediate promises that he could deliver, especially with regard to the taxes. But it signaled a clear change. The president and the finance minister decided that they are going to bring back the fiscal consolidation on track to ensure that this year, at least 2025, we bring back the stability. I think so. In terms of stabilizing the macroeconomic environment, you can't really debate with how much the president has done. I think on that score, they've done extremely well. Even though we did consolidation, shifting the focus of the consolidation from too much revenue base, focusing on additional taxes, to rolling back some of the taxes and deciding to focus on government-owned expenditure and reining in its expenditure. I think that was something that many Ghanaians had expected. Especially in the wake of the debt exchange, many Ghanaians had expected that, not just raising taxes, but also government putting its spending in order. So when the first budget sought to deliver, I think it was well received. So because of that, consumer sentiment and business sentiments have been soaring.
Yeah,
and all of that has really helped with how the economy has performed. So if you look at our growth through the first 3 quarters, you notice that it has outperform expectations, but a big chunk of that is driven by the private sector, especially when you disaggregate the growth by expenditure. You realize that private consumption has really pushed the growth, as well as the business spending. So on that score, the president has done really well.
Okay.
One area that perhaps many Ghanaians haven't seen a lot of progress is implementation of the flagship programs and the initiatives of the government. But because it's the first year of the government, perhaps you can cut them some slack because it takes some time to put your administration in together and to also start implementing your own program. So in terms of stabilizing the economy, the president has done extremely well. The president has also spoken about laying the foundation. I think when it comes to laying the foundation, there's still quite a lot of work to be done.
Okay.
But as for a first year, stabilizing the macroeconomic environment, you have to say the government has done pretty well.
What do you make of the argument that these gains have not translated into the everyday lives of Ghanaians?
To some extent, that could be founded. That is a very legitimate concern. So, because at the same time that we've seen accelerated disinflation, at the same time that we've seen the currency strengthen, at the same time that we've seen growth outperform expectations, we have also seen economy not creating as many jobs, the recent job report from the Ghana Statistical Service bears that out. And it's clear that poverty is not falling as much as we would like it to. So that has something to do with how the economy is structured itself and where, when the economy is growing, which sectors are growing. Those are things that are legitimate, but we've had this for a while, and it will take some time to reform that aspect of the economy. And I think that is where you expect that the second year of the administration will focus more attention on ensuring that first, the stability has to be deepened and sustained. Then it gives a platform for the private sector to respond more positively and grow. But the government also has a role to play to ensure that growth translates into growing incomes and jobs, as well as poverty reduction. So I think it's a legitimate concern for people to point out.
But once GDP is growing, mustn't that grow in tandem with some level of job creation?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It depends on which sectors are growing and the nature and the characteristics of the growth. So you notice that in the economy, some sectors are extremely labor intensive. Some sectors are capital intensive. So if you see growth driven, for instance, by gold production, because we have not been deliberate in making sure that the extractive sector in general are strongly connected to other sectors of the economy, they still remain enclave sectors. What that means is that if gold is what is growing, the extractive sector is what is growing, then it's only people who are directly connected to mining of oil or minerals. Those are the ones that will benefit. So, but that is really relatively a smaller population.
Mm.
You also notice that the informal sector is the biggest employer, and it's yes. So, but its contribution to output is low. So, productivity in the informal sector is low. We talk about the services sector growing, but you know, the services sector has many divisions.
Mm, okay.
ICT, for instance, which has been growing very strongly, you notice that not many Ghanaians are connected. The ICT sector is primarily controlled by foreigners and also is relatively capital intensive. So all of those come into play when you are assessing the extent to which your growth will translate to
job creation
okay. And poverty reduction.
Do stay with me. Let me bring in Sanja Nanja. He is Vice Chairman, Lands and Natural Resources Committee, an MP for Atebubu Amante. I'm grateful to you for joining us here.
We've allowed so many sectors to become enclave. So when some sector is going, it's not pulling along with other sectors. And I think that is something that we have to address.
Okay.
We can't take it for granted that the moment the economy is growing, it's going to create jobs or it's going to generate sufficient income for ordinary Ghanaians.
Okay. All right. I'm grateful.
Some of the most productive sectors of our economy are in the hands of foreigners.
Okay.
And when those sectors are going, their proceeds are expatriated to other countries. They are sent to other countries. So these are issues that have to be addressed to ensure that every time the economy is growing, we are seeing ordinary Ghanaians are seeing the benefits.
I'm grateful to you. Stay with me. Let me bring in Dr. Stephen Amwa. He's ranking member of Finance Committee in Parliament and MP for Inshaya. So I also have Sanja Nanja, Vice Chairman, Lands and Natural Resources Committee, MP for Atebubu Amante. Let me start with you, Dr. Amwa. I mean, you've been at the Finance Ministry before. If you look at the 1 year of the John Mahama administration, you would agree that something positive is happening. Not so? Hello, Dr. Amwa, do I have you? Hello, Dr. Stephen Amwa, do I have you? Okay, looks like, let me try and see if I can get Sanja Nanja. Hello, Sanja Nanja, do I have you, sir?
Yes, please.
Great. Now, one of the major things that you talked about during your campaign was
Your voice is very low.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, please.
Great. I'm trying to find out from you that one of the major campaign promises that you made was the 24-hour economy, 133. A lot of people were looking at that. Now, we all agree that the economy is doing well. But when will that translate into the 24-hour economy being realized just so it can create the jobs that people need?
All right. Thank you, my brother, for calling me into the show. I will say good evening to your cherished listeners. I think 1 year down the lane, a lot has been done, as you yourself have admitted. And the 24-hour economy is a major policy issue. And no government can use 1 year to achieve all that is in its manifesto. As I speak to you now, the 24-hour economy bill is before Parliament. And hopefully, the Constitutional and Legal Affairs Committee of the Parliament, which I am one of them, we are going to start perusing the bill as a committee that it has been referred to. And come Friday, we are going to meet and start perusing the bill. We'll go through it and report back to Parliament at the preliminary for consideration stage. And it will pass through all the stages of the of a bill. And I'm very sure the bill will soon be passed. Even before that, I know some other institutions, government institutions and private institutions, have started implementing the policy in some pieces. But the bill coming into force, and it will enforce what has already been started. And I know by next year, by this time, the bill will be a law, and we'll see much of the 24-hour economy.
All right. Do stay with me. Let me bring in Dr. Stephen Amoah. He is ranking member on Finance Committee in Parliament. Doc, from where you sit and what you do know, how would you rate the 1 year of John Mahama's administration?
Hello? You are asking me?
No, I'm bringing in Dr. Stephen Amoah, sir.
You hear you. You said, how do I rate?
I'm bringing in Dr. Stephen Amoah. Doc, if you can hear me, do I have Dr. Stephen Amoah?
Yes, please.
I'm asking for your review of the 1 year of John Mahama's administration, from where you sit, in terms
of
the economy.
Thank you very much. I can't really hear you all, but...
Okay, I'm asking for your review of the economy in 1 year.
Oh, in 1 year. Thank you for the opportunity, and my regards to our listeners this very evening. Honestly speaking, for 12 months now, I still stand by the statement I've been making right back from June last year. This is a new government, and honestly speaking, it will be extremely very difficult for any honest person to say that the government has done well or otherwise, except those who just want to do propaganda economy. The fact is that we need to look at the key performance indicators, I mean the primary macro indicators. We need to also look at some of their flagship programs that they promised Ghanaians. We also need to look at even the formulation of their government structure. Now, if you come back to the primary macro indicators, honestly speaking, in terms of economic performance, the government hasn't done much, and it's not the government's fault. You remember that the world went so bad economically that at a point we're growing around 0.4-0.5%, even when the world grew negative 3.3. But by last quarter, 2024, when we're leaving office, even we had provisional figures of about 6.3. Brother Dr. Atoforos, in my regards to him, presented about 5.6%, you remember, even higher than 2016, when they left 3.4. Our primary balance has started recording a better figure. Even inflationary rate that went to 54.1 had come down to about 22. Some reserve had been much improved before they took over the government. And you realize that through no fault of theirs, any new economic policies, especially those that require parliamentary approval, will take some time. I mean, i.e. 24-hour economy. Mm. The next thing is the big push and call. We cannot record any component of that and express that as a percentage of our current GDP growth. So I don't think it would be right for anybody to say that this government is doing well economically. Honestly.
But it would also not be right for anybody
to say that this government is not doing well at all. If we really want to be very realistic, I'm sure this is the year that we are going to look at critically what this government is doing, its contribution to the growth of our economy, and the changes and the successes and the utilities and satisfaction enjoying today as a result of where the economy was last quarter, last 2024, when they took over. So I don't think that personally I can place this government in any appraisal position to say that they've done well or they've not done well. That's my personal opinion for
now. But when GDP has grown, you know, by 6.1%, when inflation is now 5.4%, when exchange rates stable around between 10 and 11, are we saying that something right is not happening? They've rationalized VAT as well.
Thank you very much. Maybe you got me right, and your question is also appropriate. But let us understand the fact that when it comes to economic growth, you remember, as I said, the economy went so bad, we had to do recovery and restoration of the economy, which to me was done. To feel the impact and what we enjoy now, we had already started reducing inflation rate from 54.1 to 22 point something, and it's taking that downward trend up to what we are getting now. That is how all economic, look, developing a country economically is a process. It's okay. Not event.
Okay.
So what we are enjoying today, especially when we are actually operating what I describe as a defensive economy. When we say defensive economy, we call something systematic risk index. Generally, our market operations and the businesses and the enterprises and the companies are having averagely far less than one. What it means is that defensive sector means that we're having a lot of SMEs comprising about 90%. And once you have such economy, normally it takes a long time for economic figures and recovery and restoration to practically be felt by the people. So it is true we are having these things now. It is as a result of where we got to. Let me tell you something. By December, we had about $500 to $600 million in our account. Bank of Ghana should come and say I'm lying. By January, we had about $1 billion because of the domestication of the so-called cocoa syndication, which, in my opinion, had been done for the first time. I stand to be corrected. We had come out of a very successful, relatively peaceful election, which has really restored confidence of investors.
Okay.
Three, the primary macro indicators that were, we call something independent variables, taking the whole economy as dependent variables, they have started doing so much well.
Okay.
So investors have started getting confidence in our economy,
okay,
and it affected our currency in a way. The same time, America had gotten Paris war with the giant, partners or whatever, like the Asian countries. So all these contributed to the economic restoration and the economic growth, and then the areas that were taking downward or upper trend in terms of what we were expecting we're doing.
Okay.
And we are still enjoying that trajectory.
All right.
So what I'm saying is that, yes, we are having all these coming down. They are already coming down already.
Okay.
We all know. And I'm not saying the government hasn't done well. I can't say that. And I can't say the government has done bad. We are yet to see practically what the government exclusively will contribute to the growing and the stability and sustainability of our economy, especially this year. You see how discretionary spending policy options of this government will be, how they will stick to their promises, how they are going to control cost or expenditure, and the options that they will take for us to be sure that, yes, they are really, really on the right path. But for now, it's still, in my opinion, an embryonic stage for us to change this government. That's my opinion anyway.
I'm grateful, but Sanjay Nanja, just about 30 seconds. What's your response to Dr. Steve Ramwa? He says, too early for us to judge.
Yes, you see that Steve Ramwa is not able to, actually, he's tried to play the middle stream rule. That's all. you can't say the government has done well, you can't say he hasn't done well. In the reality is that government has done well. For nothing at all, hardship has been reduced. For nothing at all, the city has been very strong against other foreign currencies. These two major things, it is by the genuity of and the management of the managers of the economy has brought this. You can't take away this from us. For nothing at all, inflation. Today, inflation is 5.7%. So I think the best Mr. Winamwa can do is what he has done.
Okay.
Not to say the government has done well.
Hello.
And not to say hello.
I'm grateful, gentlemen, because of time, we'll have to leave it here. I'm grateful to you, Dr. Stephen Amua, ranking member of Finance Committee in Parliament, MP for Nshaya. So Sanja Nanja is MP for Abtebubua Manting and Vice Chair, Lands and Natural Resources Committee. Up next is Newsnight. What's coming up?
And coming up on Newsnight,